Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Thank you so much for allowing me to enjoy a week off last week, celebrating Christmas with my family, my friends. Hope you all had a great time, hopefully doing the same thing. We are thrilled to be back here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door. And coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about why I'm actually really excited about the Sugar Bowl. I think it's actually going to be a really fun event, a fun game to watch, some intrigue about what we might see. I'm going to get to that coming up in a few minutes. Before that, though, a lot of recruiting news, and I'm really, really just very excited to be talking about five-star running back Zachary Evans for a number of reasons. Let's face it, the end of the season for Georgia was probably filled with a little bit of bad news. You know, you had the loss to LSU in the SEC championship game. Georgia, you know, sort of forced to settle for less than its best preseason goals. And when you have that going on, there can be some questions about, well, what's, you know, what does the future look like? What's the horizon going to be like? You know, what do we have to kind of look forward to? And Kirby Smart has a way of using recruiting to kind of make all of that seem better. And the recent buzz around five-star running back Zachary Evans would certainly lend you to believe that once again, that's going to be true for Georgia. As we kind of went on Christmas break, there was all of this talk and chatter that Evans had signed with Georgia. And when he makes his announcement later on this week at the Under Armour All-American game, he'll announce Georgia as his school. And really nothing that happened over the course of this week with a Dog Nation being on hand there at the Under Armour All-American game, nothing that's happened there has really done anything to dampen those expectations. If anything, those have now been heightened. The thought that Georgia might truly be in play here and might be the recipient of the letter of intent from five-star running back Zachary Evans, that seems more likely now than ever on the basis of some of the things that Evans has said here in Orlando this week. Let me start with this. A little bit of Evans on the relationship that he has with Dale McGee and the fact that McGee and Georgia were an ever-present force in his recruitment. Even though we weren't necessarily talking about him a lot here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, maybe you weren't reading about him a lot on DogNation.com for a while, behind the scenes, McGee was very much that presence around Zachary Evans, and that's something that for Evans was incredibly attractive. Here's what Evans had to say about that.
Consistent. They ain't never show no love lost. That's how I feel. Like, they ain't never just, he ain't never just, because McGee ain't never just put me out in the dirt, like, oh, I'm gonna just stop talking to you or something. He always kept me around the loop, letting me know what's up, lacing me up and stuff, just keeping me on track, checking in on me and stuff like that.
By the way, you can go to the Dog Nation YouTube page and hear the full interview, watch the full interview yourself. Connor Riley, Jeff Sintel having a chance to catch up with Evans upon Evans checking in there in Orlando for the Under Armour All-American game. And obviously speaking really well of Dale McGee is the kind of thing that would make Georgia fans feel pretty good about that. But what might make Georgia fans feel even better is something that Jeff Sintel wrote on the pages of DogNation.com about a hint, apparently a pretty big one, that Evans dropped this week. Here's what Jeff reported about that. I'm going to read a couple of sentences to you here. Jeff writes that the Houston native, he means Zachary Evans, said that the position coach that he'll go play for has a history of putting players into the league, including a former member of that program who went on to win a Super Bowl in his rookie season. That's Jeff Sintel relaying some words that Zachary Evans apparently spoke in Orlando, and obviously it doesn't take a whole lot to connect the dots of saying, well, Sony Michel won a Super Bowl in his rookie season with the New England Patriots. Did Alabama have one of those guys? Did LSU have one of those guys? Certainly seems like that he's speaking of Dale McGee when he says that about the rookie running back winning the Super Bowl. That seems to be Sony Michel. Now, listen, recruiting has a way of always kind of surprising you, twists and turns, can kind of spin and move in a certain direction. But it certainly seems like that Zachary Evans is putting a pretty big wink and a nod in the direction of the Georgia Bulldogs there. And I treat this as huge news. I think it comes at a great time for Georgia. Fireworks like this are just what Kirby Smart is famous for. And whether it's George Pickens as part of the class of 2019 or Zachary Evans potentially as part of the class of 2020, Kirby just has a way of sort of flurrying to finish the round that kind of always keeps Georgia fans invested in the recruiting process and frankly entertained by the entire thing. The other thing I have been steadfast in my belief in is that a second running back for the class of 2020, as good as Kendall Milton likely is and certainly has the potential to be in a Georgia uniform, Georgia just needed a second running back for this class. Let's face it. When DeAndre Swift was injured less than his best in the SEC championship game, Georgia didn't have a ton of confidence in turning to its young running backs right now. James Cook and Zamir White in terms of carrying the load and being the bell cows for Georgia. Now, there could be various reasons all this is true. In White's case, he's still recovering from an injury. But in terms of turning the keys to the kingdom over to them in the 2020 season, I think there's some questions about how much you can really put on their shoulders next year. You just need more running backs in the fold, and Zachary Evans potentially being one of those guys to go along with McIntosh and Cook and White and Kendall Milton also on his way here as a true freshman. This is Georgia answering a big need, the need to keep its strongest strength strong again for 2020, especially since we presume that DeAndre Swift's on his way to the NFL. Zach Evans would certainly go a long way towards making that true. Now, the other part of this with Zach Evans is there's the weird stuff of, well, you know, he was apparently suspended for a state championship game. Didn't get a chance to play in his last game there with his North Shore teammates in Houston in a state championship game. And I won't pretend to be an expert on what went on there or what went on earlier in the season that led to Evans being suspended and away from his team there for a while. I won't pretend to be an expert on all of that, except I will emphatically say that that doesn't turn me off on him as a player. I think growth and discipline is a part of the experience of education, and sometimes that happens in a classroom, sometimes that happens on a football field, sometimes that happens just in some other extracurricular activity. You know, growth and development is a part of the story of going from high school to college, and Zachary Evans may very well be going through some of that right now. He's going to have a great opportunity whatever school he chooses. We sort of think it's going to be Georgia on the basis of some of the stuff we've heard as of late, and if we presume for a minute it is Georgia, if he comes in here and for some reason he has a hard time, frankly, and I don't mean to be flip about this, but it's just true. It's not that hard to get rid of a problem. It's just not. But it is very hard to find a player who has the athletic potential, the capabilities that Evans has seemingly shown in his high school career and in all-star events like the one he's going to be at this week at the Under Armour All-American game. A guy like that deserves a chance to grow and develop into the young man that he was kind of designed to be. And the college experience is going to be a part of that for him. And if it doesn't work out, then Georgia will do what a lot of programs have to do, which is make the decision to move on. But the honest truth is, there are countless stories of guys who shake off things like this and go on to be great players and, frankly, great young men. And I think that Zach Evans is going to have a chance to do that, whatever school he chooses. And obviously our hope is come Thursday, it's Georgia that he does choose. Of course, Jeff Sintel, Connor Riley from Orlando will have a lot more on that this week. Another five-star recruit I want to spend a moment mentioning and talking about, though, is the five-star tight end Darnell Washington. And there was something that Washington said this week. Once again, full video interview you can see at the Dog Nation YouTube page. But I want you to compare this, Washington on what was pivotal in his recruitment, compare that to what Zachary Evans just said, or I guess he wants to be called Zach Evans, what Zach Evans just said. Evans saying, hey, Georgia never turned its back on me. Dale McGee was always that ever-present force, always that guy who stuck by me and maintained communication and maintained that relationship. And Evans says when it comes to McGee, that was important. Also, for the unnamed school that Darnell Washington has signed with, it was a similar kind of relationship that paid a big dividend for him. Here is Darnell Washington not tipping his hand about where he signed, but certainly suggesting that the same kind of relationships for which Dale McGee is famous was also something that played a big role for Darnell Washington. Here's the five-star tight end.
I'm pretty sure he already knew I was coming. We had the best relationship ever since they offered. They kept communicating. Unlike some schools, they offer and then kind of fade away and then try to come back at the end. But no, it was like a daily thing, so I'm pretty sure he already knew I was coming.
So listen, I think that if you don't take anything else from this, now obviously most of the people who are watching or listening to me right now are hopeful that Washington comes to Georgia, that Zach Evans comes to Georgia, that all these five-star guys come to Georgia, and that's the main reason why you're listening in close to this conversation right now. But beyond that, big picture, relationships matter in recruiting. And if you want to know how Georgia wins with the 2021 guys and the 2022 guys and whatever future year you want to look ahead to, listen to Zach Evans, listen to Darnell Washington, listen to the way they describe their recruiting process. Washington says, the coach I signed with already knew I was signing because that's how close our relationship is. Zach Evans says, now we presume for a moment he's chosen Georgia. We'll find out for real later on this week. But he says about Dale McGee, hey, McGee never turned his back on me, never you know, he whatever you know phrase he used to describe that, he's stuck with me the entire time. Those relationships, those abilities to build authentic connections, they really matter. And that's what Georgia assistant coaches are good at. That's one of the reasons why, whether it be December signing day or February signing day or early January, Georgia seemingly is always in the mix for these big-time five-star names. So the bottom line on this entire discussion is this. Off the heels of losing an SEC championship and a buildup of the Sugar Bowl that admittedly has been a little weird, Georgia needs some good recruiting news. And boy, guys like Zach Evans and Darnell Washington and potentially even Keely Ringo later this week, they really have a way of providing that. Evans maybe more so than anybody else because he's the big surprise right now. We all enjoy pleasant surprises, and this week may be a week that provides that when it comes to UGA recruiting. So do like I'm going to do. Stay tuned for this entire process because by the time this week is done, we may have some fun new names to add to Georgia's 2020 class. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. And it is so great to be back with all of you live on video, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, of course, 10 o'clock every morning for that, radio at noon, and it's good to be back in the Classic City again this morning on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or I should say this afternoon. We air there at noon. And, of course, podcasts wherever you find them, the world-famous DogNation.com, the Apple Player, the Google Podcast Player, wherever else. We're just really appreciative of you for being a part of our program today, and we appreciate Pella Window and Door for making it all possible. By the way, Pella Window and Door of Georgia can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. They got a branch right here in Georgia, which means you get locally backed service, but they also have the power of a national company, so you get the resources that kind of come along with that. It's really kind of the best of both worlds. Also, great offer right now. You can get 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. That offer, though, only valid through January 9th, so make sure you take advantage of that right now. Now, I want to make sure that you're aware of this. New website for you to get in touch with when it comes to Pella Window and Door. Website is PellaBranch.com. PellaBranch.com. You can schedule your appointment there, or you can still give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. Once again, 404-445-2979. That'll get you in touch with Pella Window and Door of Georgia. Final show for us in Atlanta before we head to New Orleans. We'll do Dog Nation Daily live from New Orleans tomorrow, getting ready for the Sugar Bowl. And let's talk about the Sugar Bowl here for a moment before we speak to John Stinchcomb as we go around the doghouse. And I said this to start the program, and I want to kind of double down on that now. I don't care how weird the buildup of the Sugar Bowl is and how many guys are seemingly not there and how little information we kind of seemingly have about who isn't there and kind of all of that. I'm going to tell you right now, it hasn't really done much to kind of dampen my enthusiasm for the Sugar Bowl. I love New Orleans. I'm excited about being in New Orleans. I like the idea of Georgia playing a Big 12 team in a primetime game. I'm just sort of excited about the whole thing and the fact that it's not the playoff or it's not the, you know, the expectations that we all had for Georgia at the beginning of the season. For, as Kirby Smart has kind of called it, this one-game season, that's not going to do a ton for me to kind of get me less enthused about the game, even though admittedly I'm not quite sure what I'm going to see from Georgia, nor am I quite so sure that Georgia's capable of going out and beating a team like Baylor right now. I have a lot of questions about all of that, but I am quite interested in being able to get those answers. Now, let me start with this. James Coley met with the media this week, a rare opportunity for Georgia fans to hear from the Georgia offensive coordinator. And the words that Coley spoke were important given the fact that he's the architect of really the source of the most complaints and the most dissatisfaction from Georgia fans this season. What was going on with the offense, the passing game in particular. Now, Coley was anticipating questions like this, and he was ready with an answer. Here is Coley's thoughts on kind of what went wrong with the Georgia offense this year and the role in which he played in all that. Here's the Georgia OC.
Everybody knows, everybody's talked about, you know, the play on the outside and, you know, the questions on Jake. And you know what? I got to do a better job, first and foremost. Starts with me, right? So, you know, I'm looking at myself hard and criticizing myself and busting my tail to get that end better. And then, you know, we do have to put some pieces in place for a quarterback in the pass game. We got to put some pieces in place up front for the running backs. So it goes down to players, you know, and that's the bottom line, right? So how do you get your players better so they can reach their full potential? And that's what we've been fighting all season long to get better at, working really hard at, you know, bottom line, got to score points. How do you score points with
conditions of what you have or the injuries you're working with. It's been tough, and ultimately it falls on me, and you know it's our job to get it better.
So as I said before, I'm eager to see the Sugar Bowl because I'm eager to see, can Coley do some of that this upcoming week against Baylor, a pretty good defense out of the Big 12. Can he kind of show some of that? Because as he said before, hey, you know, maybe we got hurt by inexperience, the receiver position and all of that. Well, the fact of the matter is Georgia's still going to be a relatively inexperienced team at receiver next season. So the guys that he will be hopefully utilizing in 2020, at least some of those guys are playing in this game this week. Take a guy like George Pickens, for instance, who admittedly has not played a full game for Georgia in quite some time. But when you look at the overall numbers for Pickens this season, one of the things you see is that Pickens this year essentially had the same year, statistically speaking, as Mecole Hardman had back in 2018. And everybody's talked about how much Georgia missed Hardman. Pickens, a very different kind of player, but the way in which that he produced this season was pretty similar to what Hardman produced a year ago. That's likely your go-to receiver next year, no matter how good these freshmen turn out to be, and no matter how healthy Dominic Blaylock ends up being on the heels of his injury recovery. You know, George Pickens is a guy that Georgia's going to lean on heavily in the 2020 season. I'm really eager to see, well, can Georgia then lean on him in the Sugar Bowl? Can Georgia utilize him to the tune of kind of a go-to receiver? 7 touchdowns in the year, more than 500 yards receiving. That's a guy who hopefully this week gets a chance to play a full game. That's a guy that you ought to be able to really lean on and get something out of. And if James Coley is serious about doing that in 2020, I think the first day of the calendar year would be a great place to start against the Baylor Bears. So we'll talk a lot more about that during the week. But the overall, I guess, bottom line on all of this is that I'm eager to see the Sugar Bowl to see if it kind of provides any kind of evidence that the offense in 2020 can be better than what Georgia fans were forced to endure for most of 2019. Before I get John Stinchcomb, we'll talk to him about this subject a whole lot more. Let me remind you really quickly about my friends at Brasstown Valley Resort. You know, it's nestled right there in the North Georgia Mountains. Could not be a more beautiful place to be this time of year. Easy drive, just a couple hours away from the Atlanta area, whether you want to, you know, play some golf. And boy, this week it's actually been great golf weather, even though it's the month of December. Really nice stuff there. There's just stuff for the entire family. Make sure you check them out online, BrasstownValley.com. That's BrasstownValley.com. That'll get you in touch with Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, a beautiful getaway right there in the North Georgia Mountains. Speaking of guys not playing for Georgia, we will have more of that coming up later on in our program. But Kirby Smart said about that this week. We'll hear from Smart again on this subject on New Year's Eve. He'll speak to the media again, but we'll hear what Smart has said about this to date here coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, with more on the Sugar Bowl and everything else happening around UGA, let's talk to our buddy John Stinchcomb.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
John Stinchcomb, great to have him here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door. And I guess, John, let me begin with this. Hope you had a very Merry Christmas. Hope you and your family just had a great time and you're in the process of enjoying your holiday season, heading towards what I hope is a Happy New Year for you there as well. We appreciate you spending some of it with us here today and just hope you're doing well today.
And likewise, BA, I'm great. I'm thinking about all the weight I'll need to lose in January from all the Christmas parties that we've been to.
Yeah, no doubt. One of my great weaknesses in life are Christmas cookies, and I feel like I've just sort of intravenously injected Christmas cookies now for the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I got to get back on the wagon here pretty strong as we get ready to start the new year. But that, as you said, that is not an uncommon phenomenon for this time of year. John, let me begin this way, if you don't mind. I said a moment ago that even though there's kind of some weirdness around the Sugar Bowl, and we'll get more into that, I'm sure, over the course of our conversation, I'm actually really excited about the game for the most part. I think for Georgia, and James Coley spoke about this week, of, hey, we've got to be better offensively, we've got to use our weapons better. I'm curious to see, you know, some younger guys in a larger role. You know, Jake Fromm, who I hope is still the quarterback for Georgia in 2020, although he's facing a decision coming up. I'm curious to see, can Georgia show some of that in this Sugar Bowl game? What Smart has called kind of a one-game season, can it be a potential harbinger for a little bit better offense for the 2020 year? Now, I'm not expecting, you know, dramatic wholesale changes over the course of just a few bowl practices, but some of the guys that Georgia's going to lean on heavily next season will be in big roles here for this year. So I'm entertained by the possibility of what Georgia might or might not be able to do with some of those guys playing against Baylor. How do you feel about that?
I'm always excited to watch Georgia play. But in contrast to you, I've never been more sick about a bowl game, it almost disgusts me, and I'm sad to admit it, that, you know, I understand why Coach Mark frames it as a one-game season, but this is a Sugar Bowl used to be, I mean, a marquee bowl game that people were super excited about playing in and having the opportunity to represent your university, and it just doesn't have that taste to it anymore. I think with the number of players that, I love your focus on it. You're looking at the players that get the opportunity. For me, I can't help but see the number of guys that have devalued this opportunity. And, you know, I'll start with those that have opted to quit on their team and for selfish reasons. And, you know, it's just really hard for me to see anything other than the number. It's an entirely different team. Your team is still playing. Guys, for whatever reason, haven't taken care of their responsibilities off the field. And I don't even know. I mean, I read the articles on potential failed drug tests and academic ineligible. I haven't seen anything official, and Coach Smart has yet to speak to it. But, man, it's, you know, as a Georgia loyalist, I'm struggling with this one.
Well, I will acknowledge a couple things, and, you know, John, I'm glad that you're speaking as candid as you are. I do think it's a mistake by Smart not to be a little more open about what has gone on and who's not here and why they aren't there, because, and I'm going to talk more about this in the show, and I'll play some audio of what Smart has set up to date on this topic, but when you have the large number of players who have not been spotted in New Orleans up to this point in time, you are kind of left to kind of fill in the blanks of why they might not be here. And, John, the unfortunate byproduct to that is it ends up kind of painting a cloud of suspicion over the entire team. I know maybe the intent of Smart is to protect the privacy of some of the guys who might not be here for whatever reason they're not here, but ultimately you end up kind of you know, kind of painting with a broad brush the entire team about what's going on in preparation for the Sugar Bowl, and I think ultimately that's unfair to the guys who are here. So I'm obviously a big fan of Kirby Smart. I know you are as well. But on this one, the way that the public relations part of the players not playing the Sugar Bowl has been handled, I think that's a mistake by Smart.
Yeah, and I can understand where he's coming from. I think what he's trying to do is prepare the team that he has, at least the team that he has in New Orleans, for a very important game. I think it's important. I still think that this matters. It matters to the perception of this 2019-2020 season, and it matters to your preparation for 2020-2021 season. So Baylor is a good football team. They're coming in with their cupboards fully loaded and excited about this opportunity, and I think Coach Smart is doing the best he can with getting the guys that he has focused on winning this game, and their mantra has been, this is a one-game season. I get that. It's just not accurate. I mean, he's doing it for the guys in that locker room so that they're mentally prepared as much as possible without focusing on what we can from a 30,000-foot view of there's a lot of dysfunction right now. You've got guys that have left. You've got guys that are not there for undisclosed reasons. That's a problem. That is a major problem for the university and for, I think, college football across the board. This is not a isolated issue to just the University of Georgia. There are a number of teams that look totally different than what we saw 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. That's a problem. I think it's watered down the bowl games to a point where they're hardly recognizable. This team is not the same team that earned the opportunity to play in a Sugar Bowl. There's no way that you can look at the staff, at the players, and say, you know, here is your reward for a great season. You get the opportunity to play in the Sugar Bowl. It's a different team. Different starters, different coaches across the board. And the coaching situation, it's been that way for a long time, where as soon as the end of the season, there's opportunities, and there's been the conference championship games, coaches have hit the eject button before these bowl games. That's been a standard. Now you see so many more of the players for whatever reason, not having that opportunity or choosing not to exercise that opportunity to participate in these bowl games. And it's a major issue. It's not a Georgia thing. It's a college football thing that needs to be addressed, and I'd say sooner rather than later, because ultimately this it doesn't benefit the schools. A lot of these schools are paying for this quote-unquote opportunity to be rewarded with bowl games. It's been devalued from the players' perspective because now they're choosing other options, whether it's go to the NFL draft or enter the transfer portal, like what we saw with Justin Fields last year. And, you know, it reflects back to if you don't make the college football playoffs, guys are seeing this as a consolation prize and choosing other options. And I think they really need to take a deep, hard look into where we're at right now, and it comes at the cost of fans.
Should point out, by the way, that as John and I are speaking, we will hear from Dan Lanning, the Georgia defensive coordinator, in New Orleans today. Lanning will certainly be asked some questions about this because a lot of the unexplained absences from Georgia are on that defensive side of the football. Now, Lanning may shed light on that, may choose not to, but when he faces reporters' questions today, that's one of the things he's going to be asked about. And, John, I think you're accurate to say that this is not a problem that plagues Georgia alone, although honesty does compel me to admit that when you look at Georgia in comparison to Auburn, for instance, who has Derrick Brown playing in its bowl game, Alabama, who has a couple guys missing on defense, but a lot of the offensive guys have chosen to play, and the sheer number of Georgia players whose presence can't be accounted for right now, it does seem fair to say that Georgia seems to be dealing with a dose of this a little more heavily than some other programs do. Now, I can't tell you why that is. I've heard many of the same rumors you have. I can't really confirm those one way or another, but it's at least fair to wonder and question, is Georgia dealing with more of this right now than the average power program is dealing with?
Well, I think, hands down, and I think for the two of us, we obviously know Georgia more than any other school, but we have an awareness of what's going on in other programs. I think my bigger concern right now for the University of Georgia is what's going on with these other players. I understand why the radio silence. I just don't. I don't know what it is. I think until we get those answers, and you know, maybe we're not owed answers. Maybe that's not what our expectations are justified in wanting to know. Where's this team? I mean, we know what's going on with Reed and Wilson and Thomas. I mean, that's pretty clear. What about the rest of these guys? Where are they, and why aren't they a part of this team? I think that's my bigger question right now, acutely, with the University of Georgia. Is there some more underlying issues, which, again, I understand Coach Smart's approach on this, and I would expect nothing different from Coach Lanning when given the opportunity. He's going to, my guess would be, spill the company line of we're worried about the guys here that are committed to the University of Georgia representing the Bulldog Nation when we face Baylor, and that's where our focus is. I get that. I get it. But what about the list? There's a list of guys that are unaccounted for.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair from our end. I think it's, you know, maybe it's not, should be a realistic expectation to get an answer from the coaching staff. But at some point, I fully expect to understand a little bit clearer, should we be more concerned with some other aspect of the Georgia program right now.
Sure thing. I got more questions for John Stinchcomb coming up. I do want to remind you, though, if you check out DogNation.com today, you can see a really cool thing at your local Kroger. You can save over $100 right now on natural and organics, including all Simple Truth selected items with digital coupons. You can look for the yellow tag for savings in stores. Check out DogNation.com for more details on the Simple Truth organic and natural products. Really great stuff for your family and really great savings right now at the Kroger close to you on this. So a couple more things, John, and one more on this topic, if you don't mind. One of the things that's been confusing to me is the fact that the injured players, guys who have said they are injured, for instance, J.R. Reed, don't seem to be in New Orleans and seem to be with the team. Would that have been common practice when you were a player for an injured player not to attend the bowl game, not get a chance to enjoy the trip? What do you make of the fact that an injured player, in Reed's case, does not seem to be in New Orleans? What does that kind of mean to you, I guess? And how common would that have been when you were playing?
No, that would not be common. And, again, the landscape has changed. I'm gonna share a story that may or may not be pertinent. I'm not saying this is the case. I'm not saying drawing any corollaries. This is just my own experience. The only time that a player was away from the team for what was publicly disclosed as injury reasons, and this is when I was a younger player, was to mask an ulterior reason for why that player was a part of the team. And I think in today's landscape, possibly could be, especially looking at last year's situation with the DeAndre, that they didn't want to replicate that experience of having individuals that were focused on other opportunities. Or, I mean, you get it. There's some possible lines of similarity that you can draw there. But In past experience, if a player was injured that was a part of the team, especially a senior, thinking of two currently, if it's because of injury, there is literally no reason why they wouldn't want to be a part of that experience and relegated to not being able to participate because of an injury in preparation for that game. That doesn't seem like a likely scenario to play out previous to this year. Pretty crazy.
Sure thing. Let me squeeze in one final thing, if you don't mind. On the Baylor side of things, their players obviously have been pretty plugged in on all of this, but Jay Glazer from Fox has reported that Baylor coach Matt Rhule is going to show up as a real contender for almost every NFL coaching opening. Some of these are on the verge of being filled, but there are going to be a lot of coaching positions that apparently consider Rhule, and Rhule's been kind of rumored in NFL circles before. So if we're kind of playing the distraction comparison, Baylor players plugged in, but maybe the coach thinking about the NFL, how much of a potential distraction for this game is Rhule's potential NFL overtures for the Bears?
Well, it's a lot less distracting than losing a coach prior to the bowl or losing players. Is it a distraction? Yes, it is. Players are aware of what's being written. They're cued in to the landscape of football, both collegiately and professionally. So, yes, I mean, they know that potentially their coach is going to be at the Carolina Panthers after the game or whatever possibly could be there. But it pales in comparison to not having, let's say, your offensive line coach who you've been familiar with at least throughout the season, but in some scenarios for years. And then you have a replacement there, which I'm grateful for, or you lose a teammate. And I think what's made our defense special, if we're going to talk about Georgia's defense for a second, what's made our defense special is the team aspect of it, the reliability of the 11 and not the elite individual performance, which is what you can see from other teams across the country. And when you poke as many holes as what we can perceive to be present right now, what we'll see on that January 1st game against Baylor, I think that's a major concern and much more distracting, if you will, than what might happen after the game.
John, great stuff. We appreciate your thoughts on all of this. And I should point out that you're going to be with us as well for a special edition of the Marlowe's matchup this week from New Orleans. And so we'll hear more of your thoughts on how the offensive line will look without Wilson and Thomas and Ben Cleveland. You shared a lot of thoughts with us on that we'll be sharing with our audience coming up in New Orleans this week. So appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door. Hope you get ready to enjoy a happy new year and the Sugar Bowl itself. And we'll look forward to speaking to you again on our program again very soon as well.
Well, BA, one last thing before I leave. It's man, I don't want to be the rainy cloud.
Sure thing.
I love watching Georgia football. I'm going to be tuned in. I can't wait to watch Georgia play Baylor. And in spite of what we just discussed, I think there are major issues, and I think not just for the University of Georgia, but across college football, that we can address or need to be addressed. I don't know if we can do it, but somebody can. And I think somebody needs to take a deep look at what's going on across the college football landscape. But until that time, I can't wait to watch Georgia play in a Sugar Bowl, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share.
I think that's all really well said. You know, I think there are some big questions for the sport that have to be addressed, and Georgia's role in that's going to be important too. And I think, John, more than one thing can be true at the same time. You can have some concerns about why some Georgia players aren't here and kind of what that means about the changing landscape of college football, but at the same time, as someone who played in this game and appreciates the city of New Orleans, you can also enjoy the game for what it is in the moment that it's kind of in. And I think that both those things can be true at the same time, and I just appreciate you kind of laying out both sides of it for us.
Well, if nothing else, I want to be upfront and honest, just in life. And I think I would be deceptive or deceitful if I wasn't able to express the fact that, you know, this landscape is very different, and the University of Georgia is dealing with issues that aren't isolated when it comes to players looking at other opportunities and devaluing bowl games. And they're also dealing with some in-house stuff that may be specific to the University of Georgia. When you look at the list of players that are unaccounted for without any justification coming, at least forthright or at this present time, from the staff. And, you know, there are restrictions. Let's be honest. When it comes to if a player is ineligible to some suspensions, whether from team rules or a drug violation, there are some things that can and cannot be said, even though those rules are violated from time to time by various programs and various individuals. There are some things that they're, per the rules, they're not supposed to discuss.
Yeah.
So, trying to give you a little backdoor exit for some of these coaches that aren't being as forthcoming as fans would like and want them to be.
John, it's great stuff. We just always appreciate your expertise and your opinions, and thanks for sharing them here on our program. And as I said before, we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Hey, man, I look forward to it, and go Dogs.
That's right. Thanks, John.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, so I have more thoughts on this coming up, including some audio from Kirby Smart on the topic, but John's a guy who cares about UGA. He's more than just a former player. You know, this is a guy who's deeply embedded as a big-time stakeholder in this university, and he cares about the community around the university. So he's going to have some questions when some guys aren't playing, especially for when some of those reasons haven't necessarily been disclosed. And, you know, to a certain extent, players deserve a measure of privacy, but you do have to be careful that the absence of information doesn't create a cloud of suspicion that ends up hanging over the entire team and every player who's not here. So I think everything that John says is completely fair, and I think it's appropriate to say that in the midst of having some of these big questions, there is also still great excitement about a chance to see Georgia play in prime time against a Big 12 team who's been ranked, you know, from almost all the season, was kind of a fringe playoff contender in its own right. You can be excited about the game. Admittedly, I am. And also facing some questions about kind of, you know, what's going on there from the larger point. So good stuff there from John Stinchcomb. We have an SEC Through coming up. We'll go cruise around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Before that, though, we are doing the show live here. And as we're doing this, Dan Lanning, some Georgia players, have spoken to reporters. A couple updates from that. And of course, you can read more about this at DogNation.com today and then see the full videos for yourself at the Dog Nation YouTube page a bit later on. Robert Beal has been practicing despite being in the transfer portal. Dan Lanning can't say one way or another about what Beal is considering for his future if the fact that he's at Georgia practice means he's going to be a part of the team going forward. Lanning didn't want to say that one way or another. One thing that Lanning apparently has said is that the absence of JRE, which I discussed with John Stinchcomb, and Devod Wilson, who's also not present, will mean more opportunities for a guy like Lewis Seen, who's presumably a starter at the safety position for Georgia next season. Sean's also had a pretty good freshman year, so seeing more of him in the Sugar Bowl, probably a reason to anticipate the game. And Lanning also speaking highly of Chris Smith, saying that Wilson's absence will be a chance for Smith. I guess Richard LeCount and Eric Stokes spoke to reporters as well. Neither guy has said they've made a decision yet about whether or not to turn pro. That's essentially what Solomon Kinley said this week, what Jake Fromm has said this week. So that is pretty much the company line right now. These guys say they're not quite sure what they want to do on that yet. I'm going to get some SEC stories. And, of course, we go cruising around the SEC. Our reminder is brought to you by our friends at Royal Caribbean. As we count down to the Sugar Bowl, it's also time to count down to another big-time game-changer, the all-new first Quantum Ultra-class ship from our friends at Royal Caribbean. It is set to sail in the U.S. and Europe. I'm talking about the Odyssey of the Seas. Odyssey is going to be sailing out of Fort Lauderdale next fall and then in Rome. How about that as a destination for the summer of 2021? This is loaded with features that you can only find on the Odyssey of the Seas and the Quantum Ultra-class ships. I'm talking about a Ripcord by iFly, which is kind of a skydiving simulator. North Star, which is a jewel-shaped capsule that ascends 300 feet above the sea and offers a 360-degree view of the surrounding area. How amazing is that? Seaplex, which is the largest indoor active space at sea. It's got a basketball course, bumper cars, a whole lot more. One of a Dog Nation's favorite things on these ships, the Playmaker Sports Bar and Arcade. That's always a lot of fun. So here's what you want to do. You can contact your own travel advisor to book your trip here, or you can contact the Cruise and Vacation Authority at 800-326-4971. That number, once again, 800-326-4971. But do me a favor. Tell me you heard about them right here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, a couple things as we go cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. So the Peach Bowl was a total beatdown. LSU all over Oklahoma in this game. And listen, I know what the general consensus is that this year there are really only three teams in the country worthy of being playoff teams. That the gap between the number three team and the number four team was quite wide on the basis of the results this weekend. Yet hard to argue with that. At a certain point, though, it's time to start holding some of these other conferences accountable for what they're doing. You know, Oklahoma's in the playoff every year, and they find a way to lose, whether it be in embarrassing fashion like LSU or letting a game get away like happened against Georgia a couple of years ago. Maybe at some point in time, we've got to find a team other than Oklahoma to put in this playoff every single year. And the Pac-12 is frankly just as bad. The dismal bowl record that this conference has produced over the course of the last few years makes you question, you know, the whole notion of Power 5 conferences. Do we really have five power conferences? If the Big 12 representative every single year can't perform any better than this in a playoff game, and if the only reason why Oklahoma keeps going year after year is because no one else west of the Mississippi is even worthy whatsoever, if college football wants to be a national sport, it's time for the rest of the nation to step up and do something more than just ask for a piece of the pie when it comes to money at the end of the season. They have to do something to help generate that revenue. And if Oklahoma can't stay more competitive than this with LSU as the supposed number four team in the country, as the supposed representative of the Big 12, and if there's no Pac-12 team coming close to being worthy either, then at a certain point in time, we've got to ask, you know, are these other conferences helping maintain college football status as a national sport? Now, the evening game was much more thrilling. Clemson, Ohio State. I don't think it was as good as the Georgia-Oklahoma Rose Bowl from a couple of years ago, but I'm obviously maybe biased a bit on that, but I did think it was a great game. It's kind of funny, you know, I watched the game as a great game, turn it off, and move on with my life. It's really only in the days after that you see how mad Ohio State fans are about the various officiating calls that kind of popped up during this game. And listen, I get the frustration over the one targeting play that had Sean Wade ejected from the game. I do get that. I don't like the targeting call. There's a lot about it that frustrates me. But in this particular instance, it's not about Trevor Lawrence ducking his head to receive head-to-head contact. It's the fact that the Ohio State player led with the crown of his helmet. And that's always going to be a targeting call in the modern age where the rule is defined. Now, if you want to change the rule, I'd be all about changing the rule and making targeting less punitive, less restrictive overall. I think that physical football is just a part of the game, and big-time hits go along with that physicality. So I don't like the targeting rule as it's written, but as it is written is how it was enforced in this game on Saturday. Now, as far as the, you know, the overturn call on what should have been a scoop and score for the Buckeyes, probably the wrong call, and the fact that it was overturned without the kind of clear and compelling video evidence that's supposed to be required for that, I'm sure is frustrating. But listen, this is true for Georgia when it's fans doing this. This is true for Ohio State, whatever. Winners aren't whiners. They're just not. And to hear the Ohio State fans saying somehow that the SEC officials had it out for them and this was a conspiracy to keep them out of the playoff, you know, the conspiracy stuff is just not, it's just not a good look. Whether it's Georgia fans complaining about being left out of the playoff. Now, there's one thing to say you're one of the four best teams and try to make that argument, but to say somehow that the system was out to get you, I think it's a bad look to say that the system here punished Ohio State unfairly. SEC officials didn't want the Buckeyes playing the national championship game. I'm sorry, that's a work of fiction. That's a tinfoil hat thing. Winners aren't whiners, and the whining coming out of Ohio State, and really it's not just the fans. Athletic Director Gene Smith has been just as bad on this kind of stuff. It is just kind of a bad look, and really it's kind of an epidemic in our modern age. We've seen a lot of SEC complaints about officiating this year. Obviously you had the Saints fans who made a huge deal about the NFC Championship game. Bad calls, I think, are a part of the sport, and whining about them doesn't make you any closer to being a winner in the future. Let me do one more thing before I get back to Georgia on this. I saw where Orlando Sentinel columnist Mike Bianchi, who's a bit of a clown show on a regular basis, had maybe one of his silliest columns to date in talking about that Florida fans better hope that the NFL doesn't swoop in and steal Dan Mullen, because as Bianchi says, Mullen's the perfect coach for the modern NFL. And the, I guess, sort of byproduct of all this is the underlying subtext is that Florida is very much a national championship contender as long as it has Dan Mullen as coach. I think it's amazing that we're going to do this for another year, given the fact that the talent gap between Florida and Georgia seems as wide as it has ever been. And frankly, Florida finds itself staring at a problem in 2020 that Georgia doesn't quite have to deal with quite as much. Remember, Florida plays LSU every single year. And yes, LSU loses Joe Burrow, but it's likely not losing Joe Brady. And my guess is, given how effective Brady was this year, putting another quarterback with him may not lead to quite Joe Burrow results for 2020, but pretty formidable all the way around. LSU has skipped a few places in line when it comes to the SEC pecking order. And, you know, Georgia may have to deal with that team again in an SEC championship game coming up sometime soon, but Florida has to play the Tigers each and every year. So keeping Dan Mullen or not, Florida's place in the SEC, is that team just below the level at Georgia? I think the fact they have to play LSU every single year puts that in threat and jeopardy more so than they probably envisioned it would heading into the 2020 season. But they're still touting Dan Mullen as this magical genius coach who's going to eventually bring great success to Florida. Results be damned, I guess. Nonetheless, we'll make that cruise around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. I want to get back to the Georgia Bulldogs here for a moment. Strong words, obviously, from former UGA great John Stinchcomb on the unexplained absences of a lot of Georgia players heading towards the Sugar Bowl. I think you can be concerned about that and also excited about the game itself. I think I'm probably both. And, you know, I do think Kirby Smart probably owes a little more on this than he's provided up to date in terms of who's not here. He tried to put a positive spin on this earlier, a few days ago, when the Dogs first landed in New Orleans. Here is what Smart said about that at the time.
I know you guys are concerned and focused on who may or may not be here or who is or is not playing, but that is not the concern of this team. This team is focused on who is here, and that's going to be a very common theme as well for our guys to be focused on who's playing. What we're worried about is how we can get better, how we can get this team better, and that's to go out and play a complete football game. So our guys are focused single-handedly on that.
So Kirby Smart tries to do the best he can to make this sound like, hey, don't look over here. There's nothing to see here. Look over here at the guys who are playing. And listen, I told you before, I am excited about the guys who are playing. I'm excited about that. But at the same time, you know, there's going to be some concerns about who's not there as well. So Dan Lanning spoke about that today. We'll find out more about what Lanning had to say about that. We'll also hear from Kirby Smart himself on this coming up on New Year's Eve as well. I think that's the next time Smart's slated to speak to reporters. No doubt those questions will come up. Hey, as we head towards the weekend, don't forget we got NFL playoffs this weekend. It's wild card weekend, some fun games. Bills, Texans, Titans, Patriots, the two NFC games on Sunday. And one of the best ways to enjoy these games is to get some action down. You have opinions about who's going to win. Well, take that knowledge to our friends at MyBookie and become a winner yourself. And when you sign up for your first deposit, MyBookie is going to give you a big bonus. They can give you up to $1,000. They'll double your first deposit, but you got to use the promo code DOGNATION. So find MyBookie online, use the promo code DOGNATION. After that, you play, you win, you get paid. Speaking of winning, that's something that Georgia's been doing against Florida. Our Gator Hater Updater, 1,157 days. We'll see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door.